part of 288 in the Little Flock Hymn Book. 288, just the first two verses. O thou whose mercies far exceed all we can do or say, as in thy people thou indeed dost daily store display. To take up the subject of music this morning. It's a vast subject. There's a lot spoken on it in the Word of God. It is because of the technology today, means of preserving it, amplifying it, and carrying it about, inventing new forms and sounds that move the soul. It is a vast subject. It is not my thought to stand up here and tell you which music you should listen to and which not. But I would like to give some things that I hope will be a tool, especially for the young people, in evaluating music. Music is not bad in itself, even though the first invention of it was probably not for a good cause, because it was invented by the descendants of Cain. That in itself does not make it bad. It's the use of it that can be for good or for bad. And God has taken it up in the Old Testament, especially through David, who was a musician, very gifted in it, and he used his gift in music for a good cause. We need to evaluate music before we let it take possession of our souls, because music is very powerful. I really doubt the most of us understand how much impact it has on our lives. I have a little appreciation of music myself, being a little gifted in it. There are some here who do not have very much talent given by God in music, in its appreciation, or in singing it or making it with instruments. Count it a mercy of God if you are not especially gifted in music. Those of you who have gift in music, I trust what we'll say today will probably mean more to you. You are the ones that are going to have to be specially careful, because you have a body, a soul, and a spirit that is able to do lots with it or appreciate it a lot. A brother at the breakfast table this morning told me how much impact he realizes sometimes it has on him. He said to me, "I have to be careful in the morning what I listen to because I can't get it out of my mind all day long." I understand that too. There is such a thing as needing to forget the things that are behind. Sometimes it's hard to put things out of your mind. And that's another reason why we have to be especially careful of how much we put into our minds and our souls. Because it sticks. And it's hard to get rid of if we don't like it. Or if it's not doing us good. I believe Satan is a master at music. A brother just called to my attention here at Lassen that in the descriptions in the Word of God of Satan, he is likened to the three major classes of music: wind, string, percussion. I believe the enemy of our souls understands music better than we do. Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I have found as a father, grandfather, and so on, we are presented with complex problems that our young people face and how to prepare them to meet these things, including music, has been difficult. I believe there's many a parent here who has sought to shelter their families from what they feel is harmful, including music. And now, most of you here are young people of an age that you no longer are in the condition just to do what dad and mom say. You need to evaluate with your own God-given faith what you should participate in your life and what not, including what you listen to. Music. It's not my thought to speak of music in the assembly. We have good literature on that. Excellent. I recommend that you read it. Nor is it my desire, or purpose, I should say, to evaluate music and its part in gospel outreach, because it is often used in that. Again, there is ministry on that. But what we're going to take up today is mostly what I would consider personal enjoyment of music. What you do in your free time or when you're working, what you listen to, or what gives pleasure to your soul, or what gives comfort to you. I can well remember when I was in school, coming home from a busy day, intense mental occupation, and with a desire to relax, sitting down to the piano and letting my heart out. I think that's wonderful. I encourage that. One more statement before we get into the scriptures. Music has often been presented as if the choice of it was just a matter of personal preference. We are said, "Oh, you like this kind of music, and I like that kind of music." We're different. God made us different, Therefore, it's totally good and proper that you listen to your kind of music and I listen to my kind of music. I don't believe that is true. There is good music and there is harmful music. We need to see why, or at least to help, and to make our evaluations according to the Word of God. Now, I passed out these little 8.5 by 11 sheets that have probably what's not real intelligible right now. All this is kind of a little outline of how we're going to kind of take up this subject. We're going to take up this subject, first of all, with a little bit of teaching on the three parts of our being: spirit, soul, and body. We are made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. I believe it's necessary, or at least I have, this is the way it's come to me, and this is the way I purpose to get into the subject, with no wish of getting into technicality about this. I hope we can keep it simple. But we are made up of three parts. And it happens, or God has made it, that music also has three parts. And music affects the three parts of our being: spirit, soul, and body. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful prayer. This is my desire in taking up this subject: to preserve our whole being, spirit, soul, and body. We are complex beings. God has made us this way. Let's go on now to the body. We know that the order here is important. When God made us spirit, soul, and body, the Word of God presents it in that order of importance. And that's why at the top of this little paper here you have, and the reason I didn't just print one of them out to put up here and a large one to point to and look to is I thought it could be, young people, that after we're finished with this, when you go home and when you are approaching your CD files or your computer and you're trying to decide which song to put on or which music to put on, you might want to stick this little paper up here to remind you of some of the things that we've had before us. Maybe it could help you face that difficult moment of decision when you have to decide what you're going to listen to, or when you're going to go out to the store and scout around and look for something you think would be good. You might want to remember spirit, soul, and body. God put it in that order. It's interesting. I think at least 3/4 of the time when I hear those three words put together, it's put together in exactly the reverse: body, soul, and spirit. we've already departed from God's order. Just like when Eve, when she was tempted, the very fact that she would consider and hear words and entertain a thought that was different from what God had spoken to Adam and Eve was a departure. She was already doomed in a certain sense. And if we take up music, body, soul, and spirit, you have already missed the path. Music is appealing to the body. It's appealing to the soul. And it has a part with the spirit too. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here we have the apostle speaking about temptation of the lusts of the flesh, being joined in one flesh to a harlot in fornication or adultery. And the reason he gives here is that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your body is to be preserved holy too. You are to keep that body pure. And that includes how music would affect your body. Because it does. I don't need to elaborate too much. We could put a certain kind of music up here, and it would make some people start wanting to dance or to move about vivaciously. We could put another kind of music up here, and it might tend to comfort and calm you, and so on. It affects us bodily. A brother told me that when certain music is played, he breaks out in a sweat. Actually, he's enjoying it. And it produces a chemical reaction or whatever. I'm not a doctor, but it's there. It happens. I listen to certain music and sounds, and it sends chills up my spine. And I think it affects you too. Preserve our body. This is the first thing, or in the order that we're taking it up. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation or manner of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now we have the soul in contemplation. There's a warfare going on. There's a warfare for the body. There's a warfare for our souls. Perhaps our souls are a little bit more difficult to define. What is our soul? Let me get my notes here. I want to read you something. Man's moral and emotional nature. Our feelings. That's our soul, briefly. Our body, we understand that. It's physical. Our soul is the emotional makeup that we have. And music works with emotions. feelings. In fact, really, that's the major part of what music is all about. Probably number one in our soul. It affects us. People make music to satisfy their souls in different ways. And so that's the way spirit, soul, and body correspond to music. And there can be a warring against our souls. Now there's a good part to it too. May God not let me forget the good side. How often we go into a funeral parlor perhaps, and our hearts are mourning, our souls are sad, we're feeling down, we're dealing with issues of estrangement or a departed loved one, and we have to work our way through that in our soul. And sometimes a soft music has a calming effect on our soul. I can remember a time in my life when God was dealing with me, and He had to deal very, at least it seemed to me like, very severely. And I, with my mind, was trying to deal with this and was not making good progress. And I went to my first symphony, and I was greatly helped. What I needed was to shut my mind down for a little while. I needed to strengthen my soul. And God used a symphony to start it. Now, I didn't finish with that. And I'm not suggesting that if you get down, you go to a symphony. But what I'm saying is that there is a place for music, for the soul. A big place. What we need to do is to learn how to decide how much and when and what kind and so forth. Because the wrong kind will lead us the wrong way. Let's go on to the Spirit in Ephesians 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so on. The Spirit is probably the most difficult to define. In fact, the Word of God says that the Spirit, the Word, discerns between the spirit and soul. Hebrews 4. I don't believe many times we can distinguish very clearly what is spirit and soul, but God does define it. There is a difference. Our spirit is our God-conscious part of us, and I believe it's often connected with the mind, although it isn't just the mind. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, maybe that's it. 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? A question there. Our self-awareness as before God and men, no one knows it except the one who possesses it. We can think we can judge motives and intents, but we usually miss the mark because it comes from the innermost part of us. And so, there is a way that music affects us as to our spirit. In the translation of the New Testament, the translators often had a difficulty knowing whether to put a capital S or a small s on the word Spirit, because it's sometimes not always clearly distinguished what is the Holy Spirit and what is our spirit. And it says that the Spirit of God beareth witness that we, with our spirit, that we are the children of God or the sons of God. That is the link of our being with which God the Spirit works in our relationship as humans. Animals do not have that. It's been called the disposition of mind or outlook. It's been called the state of awareness. We know, we think, we have self-awareness. We have awareness of God. So, music affects that. And our mind can be altered by music. A brother spoke to me this morning. I think the Lord made him sit across me from my table. He had no idea what I was going to speak on this morning. And he started speaking up to me and telling me all kinds of things that I thoroughly enjoyed on the subject of music. He told me this. He said, "This is an old saying, hundreds of years old, and it's not quoted verbatim here, it's from memory to memory." Said, this saying said, "Allow me to write the ballads of the land, and I'm indifferent to who makes the laws of the land." Now, it's probably not quite right, verbatim. But I think we can get the idea from this. What it's saying is, music has more influence on people than the laws do. So next time you're driving down the road and you see a 65-mile-an-hour speed limit sign, don't forget that there's also some other speed limit signs as to music and volume control that is necessary. Music needs to be controlled. And I'm going to say here, before we even get into it, how loud you listen to the music indicates in what way you are listening to it, whether in spirit, soul, or in body. It isn't just because it may damage the eardrums, young people. It may do that. I'm getting old. I didn't listen to loud music when I was young, but I listened to loud tractors, and it has affected my hearing. My father wears a hearing aid. I look out here, and I see several brethren. That's a minor thing in our subject matter. It does that too. But it's how it affects your being. And the volume has a control. It has a good part, a significant part of whether it is a good music, wholesome or not. So here we have the spirit being affected. Now, I've used up too much time in the first part, but never fear, we have another meeting, so we may not get all the way through. Now let's go on to the music part. You see on your chart here in your hands, on the third line, melody, harmony, and rhythm. That happens to be the three parts of all music. Music 101, music appreciation in 101 in college will probably tell you this. I didn't ever take it in college, but I've read some books on it. All music is composed of melody, harmony, and rhythm. those three things. But there's a vast variety within each one of those that makes music a very complex. But I thought it good to separate it out in these ways so we can look at it a little more finely, the parts of it. Because the emphasis of music is different in different kinds of music. Some music is mostly melody or all melody. Some music is melody and harmony. And it gets prettier when it's that way. And I like it a lot better. And then when you add the third ingredient, rhythm, to it, because all music also has rhythm, a beat, and so on, that's what gives it character. In the prison where I go and preach, we had a little difficulty dealing with how to sing together with some of the inmates, because they liked the rhythm best. And it was all rhythm to them. Well, not quite. I even had an Bob was there too. I even had a man standing up here and dancing around and going in a circle like a washing machine in his rhythm. And it meant a lot to him. He was a true believer. And his body parts got involved with rhythm. And he really went into it. And he thought it should involve our gospel outreach. And he thought it would reach people. And he was sincere. And I respected him for that. It took a little time and persuasion to change the character of our gospel meetings. They don't do that anymore. And I didn't ever stand up and say, I don't want you to do that. I trust that maybe their souls got a hold of something a little better or deeper. Because rhythm isn't the predominant part, nor should it be the predominant part of music. If it is the predominant part of music, it is probably not good music. However, what general would ever go and think of marching up against another enemy without a set of drums and calling in the symphony to play the music when they're going to war? No general would ever do that. They need rhythm. They need a beat. They need to get these people acting without even thinking and marching and not even looking at what's before them. They need to get them totally engaged bodily, and then they can obtain their objective. Music has a part there. A band going down the street. What do they play? I've never yet seen one that didn't have drums. It's an important part. Everybody get out of step if they didn't have those drums going. You know the saying about Johnny was out of step and everybody else was wrong? Or Johnny was in step and everybody else was wrong because he was out of beat? That's rhythm. Rhythm affects the body. Our bodies respond to it. We feel it, our body. Just a simple rhythm. They alter it, they change it. There are, I believe, good rhythms, and there are other rhythms that tend to affect us bodily in a way that's not good. It can be, anyway. Now, does the Bible talk about this? Exodus 32. We're going to read from verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it. and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Now let's skip on down to verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both sides, their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, This is Moses now, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto me. And so on. We're not going to read the rest of it. Now I would like to ask the question, what kind of noise was this that provoked this situation? Two people gave their opinion of it. One was more mature than the other. One of them said, It's the noise of war. What kind of noise, what kind of music is associated with that? Now we, of course, can't say, but I have no doubt that it was a music, whether vocal or instrumental, that provoked rhythm and the body, because that's the result. Now, is all music equal? I'm going to read to you a quote out of the November 1988 issue of Christian Contemporary Music. This is the Christian Rockers Creed. Now, I'm not singling this out to be preaching against this, although I have no appreciation of it. But I'm going to read this to you to evaluate, and we're going to evaluate this because it's very misleading. And it tells us the premise upon which they make music. This is the creed of the people who make it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all music was created equal, that no instrument or style of music is in itself evil, that the diversity of musical expression which flows forth from man is but one evidence of the boundless creativity of our Heavenly Father. Very high-sounding words. Very thought-provoking. Very deceptive. All music created equal? Does all music produce the same reaction to people? No, young people, it does not. It produces very different reactions. The experts have learned that. They're smart. They know how to use it. For one reason, it makes money. For another reason, it satisfies. It's an instrument used to satisfy the lusts of their flesh. And that's what we have here in Exodus. The people fell into fornication. Music had a part in it. Music affects us in our bodies. It doesn't have to get to the even to the soul to do that. It doesn't have to get to the spirit to do that. In fact, intentionally, the part of music that would affect the spirit is intentionally left out or played in a minor part. That's why most rock music doesn't really have melody. If I ask somebody to sing the melody of some rock song, I think you would have a very difficult time. Our hymns are the opposite. Our hymns start out with melody. And melody should be the predominant part of our singing and of our music playing. We're enjoying our musicians here that warm up our souls before we start our meetings. And I appreciate it. But if I was asked one of them to come up here and just play the harmony of some song without the melody, you would probably have a difficulty knowing what they were playing. Harmony is a wonderful part. But if we make harmony the principal thing, then spirit, soul, and a body are affected in the wrong proportions. The children of Israel in Moses' time, when he was on the mount, they got occupied with the body first. No doubt the soul was in occupation too. But I believe that was one expression of music that was predominantly rhythm. We're going to stop now and continue, Lord willing, tomorrow. But before we do, I want to sing the last verse of 288. Do thou the very God.